said is passed to you and you partake of it, it may be that your heart is pure. And I say, well, I wonder if that heart is pure. God knows. And it may be that as I take of it, you say, well, his heart is pure, but my heart may be impure. God knows. And so here are two sons of Adam and Eve, and they come bringing their sacrifices to God, and God looks at one sacrifice, and he looks at the sacrificer. Do not forget that. It says he had respect unto Cain, unto Abel, and his sacrifice. But unto Cain he had not respect, nor to his sacrifice. He does not mention the offer at all, the offering alone, but he mentions both the offerer and the offering. This is most important, because God does not look at the offering. This is what some people think. They think that a man can simply bring the Lord Jesus and say, here he is, and God will accept him. But God looks at the offerer as well as the offering. And if the offerer has not first had his heart cleansed by faith, then offering him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, means absolutely nothing. Now, I believe that sometime in years past, I told you why the traditional explanation that I have received of my brethren, which is valid in itself, that the reason that Cain was rejected and Abel was accepted was because of the nature of the sacrifice. Because if Abel brought the flock, then it was offered a blood sacrifice to God. And it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And here is Cain, who brings a sacrifice of the earth, and this sacrifice had no blood in it. It was a vegetable offering, and therefore it was not acceptable to God. Well, if this distinction would bear up, if I could press it and make it stand, I would present that explanation to you, but it's impossible. Think now. If you say, why, you must be very simple-minded if you can't see that that's the correct explanation. Well, let me ask you this. If there is a lamb and the shedding of blood, you do not tell me that in a literal lamb and in the literal blood of a lamb there is any forgiveness, do you? You say, of course not. It's what that lamb symbolizes. Do you not know that a lamb is a picture of the Lord Jesus? Why, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And therefore, here is a lamb, and a lamb is a picture of that one who is without spot and without blemish, whose blood cleanses the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And I cannot argue with that, because that is excellent typology, because what you just told me is what John the Baptist told me. It's what Peter told me in the first chapter of his epistle. The Lord Jesus is that lamb without spot and without blemish. And therefore, if Abel comes and offers a lamb to God, the firstlings of the flock, then here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as that lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. But now let me ask you this. It must be looked at symbolically, typically, because there was no efficacy in any lamb or any other material thing of earth. And therefore, that brazen serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, do you think there was any efficacy in that brazen serpent itself? You say no, only as it typifies the Lord Jesus lifted up on the cross. Well, let me ask you this. When Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, what is the fruit of the ground a type of in the Old Testament? You say, well, let me think. Well, let me help you for the sake of time. I'll give you several scriptures. You'll find one in Deuteronomy 26, and you'll find one in Leviticus 23. Please just listen for now. You may turn to them later. You'll find that of the seven feasts of the Lord, the first feast is the feast of the Passover. And it says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed. And so evidently, since the first feast is Christ the Passover, here is the Paschal Lamb, the blood of the Lamb put on the doorposts and on the lintel. There is Christ, his blood, protecting us from the destroying angel. And that is true. Thank God. Christ, our sacrifice, hath been offered up for us. But let me ask you this. After the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which comes on the 15th day, on the 16th day, you have the Feast of First Fruits. And that feast is symbolical of Christ as what? You say, let me see, first fruits. That's it, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. That's right, it does. It says, if Christ be not risen, You are yet in your sins. And so this is what God tells us through the first fruit offering. It is the resurrection, Christ. And without the offering of first fruits, you have a Christ that died but did not rise again. Now, which is more important to you? A Christ who died and shed his blood that your sins might be cleansed, or a Christ that was raised from the dead for your justification? You say, one is as indispensable as the other. Why, of course. Don't you see that? And so when Cain brought the fruit of the ground, you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 26 that God says, you shall bring of the first of, and these identical words, the fruit of the ground, and you shall offer it like that sheaf of first fruits to be accepted before God. And so the offering that Cain brought was perfect, and it was as valid, and it depicted the Lord Jesus Christ as much as that lamb that Abel brought. Because my Savior that is raised from the dead is just as powerful in my salvation as the Savior that died on the cross. Would anybody disagree with that? And so you can't say the first fruits is not symbolical of Christ, because the inspired author in 1 Corinthians 15 says, but now is Christ raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. And we are told in the last verse of Romans chapter 4 that Christ was delivered up for our offenses, but was raised again, the first fruits, raised again for our justification. And therefore, there is nothing wrong with the sacrifice, but there is something wrong with the sacrificer. And so do you not see that if a man brings the prescribed sacrifice, but he himself, the sacrificer, is not right, God will not accept him? That is the folly of Roman Catholicism. That is the folly of any religion in the world that thinks that God will accept money or some ritual or some mass or any material thing of man's invention without work first being done in the heart. Now, this is what Hebrews 11 tells us. I'm so thankful. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice. Then, if Abel offered unto God a sacrifice by faith, then Cain offered unto God a sacrifice without faith. And I know it was without faith. And this is why God was looking upon the sacrificer as well as the sacrifice, for this simple reason. When God said to him, Cain, I'm not accepting your sacrifice because your heart is not right. I know his heart was not right, because if his heart were right, God would have accepted the sacrifice, because it was as typically perfect of the Lord Jesus Christ as Abel's sacrifice was. And no mention is made of Cain in Hebrews 11 at his faith, but it contrasts the faith of Abel, and therefore Abel's heart was right. And when a man's heart has faith in God, and he offers the prescribed sacrifice, there is no power in heaven or on earth or in hell that can keep that man from being acceptable in God's sight. And this is why Abel was accepted in God's sight, because he did it by faith. This is the inspired testimony in Hebrews 11, and God, who knows the heart, accepted the sacrifice. Now, if a man has the right heart, then if his sacrifice is imperfect, God will accept that sacrifice. Let me show you why. You'll find in the Old Testament, it is not so much the comprehension as the very fact that that man wants to be accepted to God. Because there are various sacrifices depicting a man's comprehension of the sufficiency of Christ. Some can offer a bullock, some can offer a lamb, but it says some can only offer a handful of meal. And God said, I will accept that. And so if you have a man whose heart is rich in faith, and he simply comes and touches the hem of Christ's garment, the touching of the hem of Christ's garment is just as efficacious to that woman who touched that garment as the Lord Jesus who put forth that holy hand and touched the leper. One was cleansed as much as the other. And so there was nothing wrong with the sacrifice that Cain brought. Nothing in itself. But you will find that the sacrifice was made of no effect because of the condition of the heart of the sacrificer. And immediately you discover what was in that heart, because God says to him, he said, now Cain, he said, if you do what I tell you, your countenance shall be lifted up. When God rejected his sacrifice, it says he was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You could see it on his face. And God spoke to him graciously and tenderly. He implored that man. He said, now Cain, you're in a dangerous situation. He said, if you do well, shall not your countenance be lifted up? That countenance that had fallen because he was rejected of God, if the man were accepted, then it says, the show of thy countenance doth betray thee. It means that the look upon a man's face shows whether he is pleasing to God or displeasing to God. And this man, by the look on his face, showed his displeasure with what God said about his sacrifice. Now think of that. If someone comes to me and can show me from God's word that what I am doing is wrong, and I become very wroth, and my countenance falls, then that means that I have rejected the entire teaching of the word of God. But if someone comes and shows me from God's word that I am wrong, and I say, thank you so much for correcting that incorrect interpretation I had of the Bible. I'm so glad that I understand. Why, I thought that salvation was of works. I thought it was my merit. I thought it was my own goodness, my baptism, my joining the church. I thought that was salvation. But you tell me that these things are of no avail? And, as I was told so many years ago, of no avail. The works of the flesh, not by works of righteousness which we did, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Then, when someone told me that, I bowed upon my knees and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I remember our dear brother who used to come to this meeting. He's with the Lord now, Brother Powell. He said once he told a man that. He told a man that all of your good works, all of your religion, everything that you of yourself are offering to God, everything is of no avail. You are a wicked sinner and God is not going to accept you. And Brother Powell said that this man picked up a hammer and started to hit him in the head and said, what are you saying to me that I'm a wicked sinner? How dare you call me a wicked sinner? Why, it showed the condition of that man's heart. When those sailor boys said, you are a sinner, you must be born again. I didn't understand it first. But when they showed me that I had to be born again, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. Then my countenance did not fall, but my countenance was lifted up, because God had revealed unto me his way of salvation, and I embraced that way of salvation. And I threw away my church membership, my baptism, my good works, and I embraced God's way of salvation. And therefore, my countenance was lifted up. And all of you, to show you that you are not a child of God, because everyone is teaching today, you find it throughout the world, we're all sons of God, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man. Well, the Bible teaches that. We're all sons of God, it says in Galatians, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you tell a man, you're not a child of God, you're a sinner, and you need to be born again, and you'll find out that in that man's heart is what was in the heart of Cain, you will find that they are of the evil one as well. And tell them this. As I told this dear lady, I said, there is one way of salvation, the Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but by him. She said, then are you telling me that all my friends, my Jewish friends, are going to hell? I said, the Lord Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Bah, she said to the side. And I know at that moment that that woman is not a child of God who is in ignorance, who knows the way of God imperfectly. Because the Lord Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. That's the true test. If a man is groping his way along, and God is his Father, because it's touching the hem of his garment, tell him more about the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of God will cause a response in his heart to leap out to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as John the Baptist, when he heard the salutation of Mary, it says, the babe leaped in his mother's womb. Tell a sinner that is truly a child of God, that just is learning, and tell him more about the Lord Jesus, and he will love the Lord Jesus. And tell all of these religious, upright, moral individuals that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Apart from him, you perish, and see their reaction. And if their countenance is lifted up and they say, indeed, he is the preeminent one. He is God's Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Then you will understand that they are God's children. But if their response is an adverse one, and all religions are good, I believe in all teachings of all the religious teachers, Confucius, Buddha, all of this, Hare Krishna, all of these things are good, you will find immediately that that individual is not a child of God. This is what God is telling us. And they have gone in the way of Cain. Now notice, you will find that some are taught the way of God more perfectly, and they will accept it. Can you imagine an eloquent preacher in the world today, like Apollos, being told by tent makers, and Aquila and Priscilla, come into my home, an eloquent man, an orator, Apollos, you come into my home. Now, let me tell you the things of the Bible, why they would reject such a thing. Why, I have forgotten more than you know. Why, you and your tent making, they would reject it. But you will find that if a man's heart is right, this person will accept teaching from any source, because they understand that humble ones know the teachings of God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. This is what God tells us. But the way of Cain is this, that they are willing to be religious. They like that, you see. It wasn't that Cain out and out rejected God and worship of God and bringing offerings to God. But he said to God, you'll be worshipped my way. And you will take the sacrifice I bring, and you will take my heart as it's found, and I have no intention of changing it. You'll say, he didn't say that. Oh, but he did. Because when God told him very graciously that his sacrifice wasn't acceptable, you'll find that his countenance fell, and he became very wroth with God, and God continued to deal with him, and then you will find that his heart was an adamant stone. And what happened was this, that God saw the crisis. He saw sin as a lion crouching, ready to destroy this man unless he did repent and change his inward thinking into the way of God's thinking. And he would not do it. And since he would not repent, you will find that that beast sprang upon him and it destroyed him. And then, from what apparently was a mild thing, it came into the open, as in the case of the rich young ruler. The Lord Jesus said, you kept all the commandments of God? He said, then, do this thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me and you will have treasure in heaven. It says his countenance fell. Why? Because he understood that he did not love his neighbor as himself. And why did Cain's countenance fall? Because he understood that any religion, just any religion, was not acceptable to God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And now, Cain was offering to God in truth. If truth is according to the specifications in his word, but you must worship God in spirit as well. And his spirit was not right with God. And then his spirit was not right with his fellow man. And you'll find that he hated God, and he hated God's way of salvation, and he hated the worshipers that worship God in spirit and in truth. And he hated his brother Abel to such a degree that he rose up against him and slew his brother. And so this is the religious world for you today. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is not a religionless world, but a religious world. But it's a religion according to man's way of approach to God. You take this sacrifice. It doesn't matter about the condition of the heart. You take this sacrifice. And this is what God wants us to understand, that it's not acceptable. God starts on the inside and works out. God never starts with your offering sacrifices, being baptized. It is the baptism of repentance. And you will find, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You will find that a man repents. He has a change of mind and of heart, and then he submits himself to baptism. Why? Because the baptism is an outward sign of an inward repentance. But you will find that mankind has gone the way of Cain. And it says this, that Cain was of the evil one. You remember I told you this morning that there are wicked spirits that influence the heart of man. And this wicked spirit would influence the heart of Cain. It shows how rapidly, not evolution, who are these who tell me that man is getting progressively better over the years? You will find that man from the beginning was utterly corrupt, and he has not been getting any better. He has become more refined, more educated, more philosophical, but still his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And now, instead of rising up against his brother and perhaps taking a stone and crushing his brain, instead of doing that today, you see, he has all of these sophisticated weapons, and now he can send a missile through the skies and obliterate millions of lives. You see what evolution has done for man. It has simply taken away his ability to destroy man in a crude manner, and one upon one. And so now, with a very sophisticated intelligent weapon, he can destroy all mankind. This is what is evolving in the heart of man. And so today, Just as Cain was of the evil one, you will find that the rest of mankind is of the evil one. And all of these who are religiously worshiping God in Richmond and in Goldsboro and in the whole world, if their worship is not a worship of faith, without faith it is impossible to please God, then their works are evil. This is what God says about Cain's works. Why did he slay his brother? Because his brother Abel's works were righteous and his works were evil, and so are yours. What work is acceptable to God? This is what the Savior tells those who come to him and say, what must we do that we may work the works of God? And the Lord Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. And that is what God wants you to do tonight. He wants you to understand that you're in the clutches of Satan with all of your religion, with all of your ritual and ceremony, with all of your morality. You are still in the clutches of Satan, and your works are evil, and God wants you to renounce them all and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you offer that offering of the fruit of the ground, God will accept it if your heart is right. And when you offer the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, God will accept it if your heart is right. But you can offer a lamb and the fruit of the ground and a handful of meal and every other written sacrifice in the Bible. But if it's not offered by faith, it is impossible to please God. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, and God accepted him. By faith, you offer that acceptable sacrifice as well. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that thou dost show us in thy word the things that we would think to be right. Thou hast told us there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. By thy Spirit, illumine our hearts and let us understand that works of righteousness and man's religion are ways that seem right, but they end in death. And we pray, Father, that this night sin that couches at our door, that would leap upon us and destroy us, help it not to take possession of us, but let us by thy grace rule over it, our God. And let us look to the Lord Jesus Christ from a heart that is cleansed by faith, and let us know what it is to be accepted in thy sight. Let us take the side of Abel, and let it be written of us, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.